Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. 12-18, what Redskin has to get them over the top against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and at 12:45, with a bunch of bad NFL matchups, we're going to try to find an upset or two on this weekend's NFL slate. Remember, Joe Theismann is on the show today at 1:30. Let's kick off our Beltway Blitz. Multiple teams, one segment, versatile couple of minutes of radio ahead. Chris Russell is our Redskins insider, and he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Slashy, do you think the Redskins beat the Bucks on Sunday?
I do not. Of course, I think there's a chance for all the reasons that I know you guys have already talked about this week. Horrible Bucks defense, Ryan Fitzpatrick turning into Ryan Fitzmagic, no running game. Redskins handling adversity better than prosperity. They're pissed off, all that stuff. All of that is certainly on the table, and certainly I would not be surprised by any of it. The problem is I just can't get past being down three offensive linemen starters, maybe a fourth in Moses, being down Chris Thompson, Jamison Crowder, being down possibly Quentin Dunbar, who I thought was very good in the first quarter plus last week against the Falcons, besides the interception. Of course, that was part of it. But then they certainly lost something there when he had to go out, and I don't know if he's going to be able to play or what he's going to be like against Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, two really good tight ends, starting with O.J. Howard and other weapons that they have. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be negative. I don't see how they get it done.
No, we're swimming in the same lake, dude. The Redskins defense has played two teams that have elite passing metrics. They've given up 81 points in those two games.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay is better than Atlanta at throwing the football, at least according to the stats. Now they turn it over, et cetera. They're right on par with the Saints. Why has that happened, A, and B, what will be different this weekend, if anything?
Well, I think the Redskins had a strength in their secondary last year, right? It was the undeniable strength of their team, and they weakened it by trading for Alex Smith, by getting rid of Kendall Fuller out of the slot. And some would argue, I would be one of them, he was at minimum top three of the best slot corners in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean Fabian Moreau has done a bad job, but when you also lose Bashaud Breeland and you know Josh Norman has not just been what the Redskins bought or thought they were getting in the 3 years that he's been here, and that includes year one when everybody sung his praises, I didn't think he was that special. He was fine. He was just not that special. The bottom line is they turned a strength into a weakness, and that's when they get exposed, especially if they can't get home on the pass rush. I mean, at times they're getting home between Ioannidis and Kerrigan, obviously, but of course they need more out of Preston Smith. And I think they're going to have to gamble a little bit more in this game, maybe twisting the inside linebacker, Zach Brown and Mason Foster, bringing them on some more blitz pressures. But I would also caution you, last week against that good clicking offense from Matt Ryan where he was accurate and they were getting rid of the ball and everything was short and they were getting yacked, they blitzed a couple of times, three times on the first two Atlanta Falcons scoring drives, and they got gashed on all three plays for 20-plus yard catch and run. So, you know, if you're not getting home, blitzing does you no good. They need to find a way to get to Ryan Fitzpatrick and make him awkward and uncomfortable so he makes bad throws.
Russell, if they win, I actually think they end up hanging on in the division. Am I putting too much on this game?
Yeah, I think so, Grant, just because you have so many tough games ahead. And when I say tough games ahead, I mean Houston is going to be a bear. And then, not that Dallas like strikes fear in you, but it's 3.5 days later on Thanksgiving in Dallas, and that's really tough with all the injuries and the finale of a three-game and 11.5-day stretch, which you know is always unfair and brutal and ridiculous, and the Redskins, of course, have to deal with it every year around this time. And then on top of that, you have the two games against the Eagles and so on and so forth. So to me, I, look, would it, I feel a lot better? Of course. absolutely, if they're 6-3 on Monday morning. You know, but that doesn't guarantee, in my opinion, anything close to a division title.
Russell, time for a quickie. Here it is. With lack of weapons and those guys getting more banged up, not less so, maybe, you know, if Crowder comes back and Thompson, et cetera, and a banged up offensive line, the rest of the way, the second eight games, Alex Smith is better, worse, or the same?
It's hard to see him being better. I'll go with the same. I don't think he can be any worse in terms of accuracy and ball location than he's already been.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Let's talk hockey. The Stanley Cup champion Capitals have won back-to-back games. J.J. Reagan, NBCSportsWashington.com and the My Teams app. J.J., you tell me. Tonight, Columbus, chance for three in a row. What do we need to know?
Well, it's been quite the morning here at MedStar Iceplex because I got here early and I saw Aaron Ness and Jonas Siegenthaler walking in. I thought, that's interesting. Sure enough, they've been officially recalled because Brooks Orpik is on long-term injured reserve. And John Carlson is day-to-day, so neither of them will play tonight. And Jonas Siegenthaler is going to get his NHL debut. So that means you're going to see a pretty shorthanded defense for the Caps team that allowed 42 shots on goal Wednesday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you're going to see a third pairing of Madison Bowie and Jonas Siegenthaler. So strap yourselves in.
The Hershey Capitals. Tell people about Jonas Siegenthaler. He's a big-time prospect in this organization.
Yeah, the team drafted, they traded up to get him in the second round. He is a defensive-minded guy. He's a physical player. He's a Brooks Orpik type, but with a lot more mobility. So you lose a guy like Brooks Orpik, you get at a defensive-minded guy. He played really well in training camp and looked like he was going to be in the lineup and stick around with this team until Michael Kempney returned from a concussion. But with the Tom Wilson suspension and the team subsequently acquiring Dmitry Yaskin, somebody had to go down. He ended up being the cap casualty there. So it's good to see him come back. He has not been great in Hershey this year, but you see that sometimes from a player who, you know, it almost makes the NHL team, ends up going back to the AHL. So I'm really happy for him that he was able to get back in the lineup because he really earned it with the way he played in training camp.
Former Intercontinental Champion, member of Southern Justice in the WWE, Jeff Jarrett, Reagan here on the Beltway Blitz. I thought Holtby was the best he's been all season this past game. Sometimes you need that, where maybe your defense doesn't have their fastball. You touched on the 42 shots. And to me, he was as good as he's been all year long. Anything sustainable out of that? What did he do differently? And can maybe he save them a couple more times here in the near future?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, something – we've seen this a lot from him in the past few years. I think he's made up for a lot of their defensive deficiencies with how great he has been over the last few years. I think you've seen how porous the defense is a little bit because he hasn't been there to make those fantastic saves early on in the season. It was vintage Braden Holtby on Wednesday. And what I really like about it and why I think it's sustainable is the schedule isn't as spread out in November as it was in October when you play back-to-back games and then you got 3, 4, 5 days between your next game. Look at the playoffs when Holtby was playing every other day and how great he was there. Well, he played Wednesday. Now he's playing Friday. He had his best game on Wednesday, and they're going to really need his best game again tonight considering how young that defense is in front of him.
J.J. Reagan, boys and girls, read his work at NBCSportsWashington.com. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, we have just been given a pair of Caps tickets away. We will give them away at 12:45. The tickets are for tonight. So if you don't have plans on this Friday night, you want to go see the Caps take on the Blue Jackets with some good seats, make sure you are listening at 12:45. And if you can answer a question we ask you at that time, you will be able to win those tickets potentially.
How about that?
We're Grant and Danny. Next, let's talk a little Redskins Bucks 2 days ahead of the matchup, shall we? Who needs to shine? We'll break it down on The Fan. Minutes from now at 1, your fantasy lineup questions will be answered by Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports. At 1:30, Redskins legend Joe Theismann on how to get the passing game going and how to get more out of these wide receivers. We are Grant and Danny, and you are listening to the fan. Remember, we're giving away tickets to see the Caps tonight at 12:45, so make sure you're locked in 30 minutes. What Redskin has got to win them the game if we oversimplify things against the Bucks on Sunday? That's the question. We'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. First time since the first hour of the show, Redskins fans, chime in. 800-636-1067.
One on offense, one on defense, and I will not overcomplicate this. Dearest Alex Smith, please have your best game of the season this week. Please take advantage of the crappiest defense we ever did see. Our buddy Ronnie came on earlier on the show, Ronnie Night Train Lane, who covers those Tampa Bay Buccaneers, explained to us in a very calm fashion, they are on pace to give up the most points that anybody's ever given up in the history of this sport. They've been playing this game a long time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, through eight games, have the worst defense ever assembled. The worst. Not one of the worst, not among the worst. They are the worst. There is nothing they do well. Please, for the love of all that is holy, have an excellent game. That means things like multiple touchdowns. That means like completing passes. That means like scrambling out of trouble. That means you must be a hero. I need a hero. Be a hero. You must be excellent in this game. Wide receivers have to catch passes. Jordan Reed has to catch passes. You must keep the team on the field. Score points. Like more than 20. Let's get nuts. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. More than 20 points, please.
The easy answer, I think, on offense is Adrian Peterson. And the reason it's an easy answer is you got to break tackles. You got to run through contact. You're going to have to do more at the line of scrimmage because the O-line's not going to be as good. The holes might not be as prevalent or as obvious. But I'm going to leave that for someone else. And again, we'll take your calls in a moment. Redskin, that's got to be great. Give us 1-0-1 on D at 800-636-1067. I'm going to go Josh Doctson. I thought about Maurice Harris coming off of 10 catches for 100 yards. A wide receiver, though, is my idea here.
I get your point.
And this is why it's got to happen this way. I don't have delusions of grandeur that Josh Doctson can get wide open anymore, but I think he can make contested catches. I need you to not drop anything, particularly early, because I want Smith to be confident coming back to you. I need the 25-year-old third-year player from Texas Christian to catch a couple of balls with DBs draped on him. This is the type of week where I'm going to throw you something up for grabs and just see, because this offense right now is not good enough otherwise.
Correct.
Make a play, dude. Do something. Remember the diving catch against Seattle that basically won them a game they shouldn't have won?
Just an amazing play, start to finish.
It was basically a prayer. Wasn't a great pass. It was a give-him-a-shot pass from Kirk Cousins.
Sure.
And he made him right. He dove and made a ridiculous catch. You saw the jump ball against the sideline. That was a big 20-plus yarder, second longest play of the day, by the way, last week for the Redskins. You saw that the fade that worked out in the end zone. You saw a 33-yard completion that really shouldn't have been to Maurice Harris. Make plays. Help your quarterback. Alex Smith has it bad enough without offensive linemen. He's got no left tackle, no left guard, no right guard, and maybe no right tackle. He's got no Jamison Crowder, potentially. He's got no Chris Thompson. Help him.
Mm-hmm.
Do something to make him better.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to make a crazy catch that you're not supposed to. Josh Doctson has to be great. That's my guy on offense. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Again, 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us.
At Funny Danny, at Grin H. Paulson for Jeeps. I called this one last week, and it did not come to pass. I'm going to say the same guy I said last week when we had this kind of discussion for someone that's got to step up. 94, Preston Smith. Get into a column. There's a bunch of stat columns that they have for you. Go to Pro Football Reference or NFL.com, wherever your preferred stat outlet is. There's a bunch of blank spaces and zeros. Get a one.
Taylor Swift.
Get a two. Heck, get a three. Put numbers into columns. Force a turnover. Do something. You must do something. You're not going to win this game, talking about the Redskins, unless you do something to disrupt this Tampa offense. Last week, very little resistance was provided against the Atlanta Falcons, who conducted a nice spring practice on their way to as many points as they felt like scoring. You must do something. Yeoman's work here. You've got to be heroes on the defensive front. That includes a sack fumble, one of those Preston Smith drop into coverage interceptions, forcing a fumble, returning something for a touchdown, etc. You do not have many counting stats this year. You must have some stats that count this weekend.
Who's got to shine on defense if the Redskins are going to beat the Bucks? 800-636-1067. So there's two ways to go with this. I think you could either go DJ Swearinger, because it means takeaways. It means a pick off of Ryan Fitzpatrick. It means plays against in the passing game. It means maybe not giving anything substantial up downfield as the air traffic controller in this secondary. Or you go up front like you just did. For me, I'm going to go with Matt Ioannidis. You could go with Jonathan Allen. I need a multi-sack game from a down defensive lineman. I need a incessantly collapsing pocket, no interior that is pushed substantially. I need Ryan Fitzpatrick, who likes to scramble and is elusive and kind of dances all over the place. I need him making throws from outside the tackle box because he got forced off his mark. So you can pick either of the two you want to, Allen or Ioannidis. I'm going to go with Ioannidis because he's got 6.5 sacks, he's and if great. One of them is going to get two, I would bet on him. But that type of pressure in the passing game, that's how they're going to win this game, is with pressure and forcing Fitzpatrick into the mistakes that he is very willing to make.
He wants to make them. Let him make them. Let him make the mistakes.
But you got to help him make the mistakes.
Yeah, assist him.
That's the difference. If you don't get pressure, he won't make them. He's got two games this season where he hasn't thrown a pick and two others where he's only thrown a pick. Tom's in Manassas. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Rob.
Hello, Robert. Hey, first thing I need, Danny, hopefully you can do an update today. I need that to shine. That'd be great.
1:30, yes, sir.
Sweet. Jordan Reed, I'm sick. I want him to shine, not in a five-yard dig or out. I want him running seam routes or those big U rollout, play-action rollouts with him streaking across the field. Get him downfield. And Mr. Hollywood himself, Josh Norman, you know, he's been Hollywood his whole life, according to him. Well,
he's very Hollywood.
The lights are shining. Yes, since he entered the world, and he needs to shine and put up get the Oscar, you know, get some turnovers, score a touchdown. I don't know, do something to earn that money. That's where I'm at.
Win the Academy Award. I love Tom, by the way. Have we met Tom? I don't think we have.
I don't believe we've met Tom.
Tom's a good caller.
Tom is a good
caller. Do you think he has a real wife or a fake wife?
Tommy.
I think he has a real wife, just like Rich and Olney, who you're slandering all day long.
You accused Rich's wedding picture of being doctored.
Yeah, Rich sends us a picture of his wedding, and Tom goes, this
looks
doctored.
What are we doing?
Sometimes you can have all the evidence you need, and the judge still won't accept it, you know? Tom seems like just a guy I'd like to hang out with at some point.
He's a nice gentleman.
I like the dude. He does good bits, the occasional shtick. I'm a Tom guy. And he's also pretty smart. He's a good Redskins fan.
No, we're all in on that. I think... The point is, and this shouldn't be this way, the first place team at 5-3, we're talking about somebody's got to do something tremendous
but
to win a game against the 3-5
team. I keep seeing this on Twitter. People are like, oh, the opinion on the Redskins has changed so much. They lost three linemen and a wide receiver. The only reason people are so down on this game is because of how injured the Redskins are.
But here's what I will say. If they were all healthy, like they were going into Atlanta, I was down on the Atlanta game because
yes,
I'm looking at passing offenses.
I understand it's a bad matchup, but it would not be this. It would not be this.
Not be this bad.
75% of the population would be picking them to win nationally, and Vegas would have them as favorites. The reason that this is now a toss-up and that a lot of people, including us, it sounds like, expect Tampa to win is because they're just in utter peril from an injury standpoint. The injury bug has chomped them like an all-you-can-eat buffet over the last couple of weeks. 800-636-1067 is the number. We're taking your calls, and that is a good reminder that we should tell you that at 1:30 today, Danny will spin the wheel of potential impressions he's got to do while delivering your 1:30 update. So make sure you are listening in 1 hour for that. Plus, with all the awful matchups in football, at 12:45, right after we give away a couple tickets to the Caps-Columbus game tonight, we're going to try to find a couple of upsets for you that could play out on Sunday. This is The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067 on the Redskins and the Bucks, and we're trying to figure out who can carry this club this weekend. No Trent Williams at left tackle. No Sean Laval at left guard. No Brandon Scherff at right guard. Potentially no Morgan Moses at right tackle. No Paul Richardson on the outside. Possibly no Jamison Crowder in the slot. No Chris Thompson, third down, two-minute, four-minute passing offenses out of the backfield. I do think Morgan Moses will play this weekend because he's never missed a game. He's always hurt and he always plays. That's kind of my logic. I don't know if this is more serious than normal, but I am fully expecting that he will go. His effectiveness.
That's up for debate.
His availability start to finish all game long. I mean, those things are way more questionable, but I do think he'll be on the field for the first snap. JaVale's in Culpeper. JaVale, who's going to help the Redskins beat the Bucks?
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I think you know, Gruden, as a coach, you know, everybody feels that he's a pretty good offensive mind. I think it comes to making adjustments. You know, I feel that he goes into the game with one set game plan. He doesn't like to move from that game plan. You know, we saw a couple weeks ago with Kyle Shanahan, you know, with the quarterback on his first start. And, you know, I think that the Raiders defense, if they played that game in Tampa Bay, is a lot similar. You know, instead of, you know, trying to do these 5 or 7 step dropbacks, get the ball out of Alex Smith's hands. You know, if it's 5 to 8 to 10 yards and a lot of run after the catch, you know, and use the short passing game, you know, as your running game.
Yeah.
And the defense, you know, everybody gets excited over numbers and, you know, where they're ranked in the top 10 and so forth. But look at those games we've lost. It's been all explosive teams who can put up numbers. And, you know, Drew Brees is Drew Brees. You know, we'll give him a pass on that. Then you look at Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan does lead the league in yards per game from the quarterback position. Even back to the Colts game, a lot of people don't realize Andrew Luck is second in the NFL in touchdowns behind Patrick Mahomes. And if Fitzpatrick had to play those 2.5 games instead of Tampa Bay wanting to get Jameis Winston in there, he'd probably be in the top 3 to 4 quarterback passing touchdown world as well. So I'm really scared about this game, guys.
JaVale, great call, buddy. Always appreciate you making the time, man. So the Jay Gruden adjustments thing, Grant, is like it's easy to look at the pudding, right? Because we always say the proof's in the pudding, and go, they've had these terrible second halves. They don't have, I think the guys, maybe they had their first third quarter touchdown here recently, but they don't have anywhere near the offensive production in second halves. That speaks to somebody adjusting against them and then maybe the lack of adjustment for the Redskins. I think it's easier to say. I also think that when you don't have weapons or much capability, there's no counterpunch if somebody figures out your recipe. That's where I'm at on this thing.
Yeah,
right?
There's only so many things you can do with the lack of weapons that they have. That goes for Gruden. That goes, in fairness, to the quarterback, Smith. I mean, that's kind of an around-the-born thought. But to the caller's point, JaVale mentioned adjustments. Here's their points in the second half. 3 against Arizona. 6 against the Colts. 3 against the Packers. 6 against the Saints. 6 against the Panthers. They exploded for 13 after halftime against the Cowboys.
Look out.
13 the next week against the Giants. They were rolling. They were dynamite. 7 against Atlanta.
Yeah, and they got their first third quarter touchdown since, was it Thanksgiving of last year?
Thanksgiving night against the Giants.
It speaks to that. So, again, it's not as simple as saying, they don't make adjustments. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the adjustments aren't any good or whatever. It reminds me of when you have a bad bullpen and the manager looks down at the bullpen and goes, there's nobody really I can call. And then you go, the manager doesn't manage the bullpen well. There's nobody coming out of that bullpen door that's really going to do anything but pour kerosene on the fire. You know, that's what it reminds me of here. What are you going to schedule more things for a bunch of receivers that can't get open? Or, you know, you're going to make sure Capri Bibbs gets touches? There's only so many tricks in the bag.
You could say that about their offense in general then, too. Right? I mean, there's only so many tricks in the bag.
Yep.
They operate with Maurice Harris and Capri Bibbs and Brian Quick and Michael Floyd.
This is what I said after the Falcons game. Every inch they get is through scheme and design. There's not a penny more. You know what I mean? There's no, hey, this was free and easy. This turned out great. They don't have that happen to them.
Let's go to Alex and Bowie. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. I wanted to say on offense that I think we need a big game out of Vernon Davis. I have no faith left in Jordan Reed. He does not look as explosive out there. Just looks like a shell of his former self. And Vernon still looks like he's still got it. So I think it's time to kind of turn over the tight end one position to Vernon. And on defense, I think we need to see a big game out of Ryan Kerrigan. I think we're going to need one of those plays where he bats the ball down at the line and scoops it up and runs it in for a touchdown. I think we might need to get a little offense from the defense this week to win.
Yeah, so we talked earlier about the fact that I think it's going to take a defensive or special teams touchdown to win the football game. I don't think they've had a return touchdown since they beat Baltimore on the road in a low-scoring game a couple years ago. It might be one of those kinds of days. It was like a windy day, remember, in Baltimore, and neither team could move the ball, and Jamison Crowder ripped off like a 52-yard punt return or something.
Mm-hmm.
I love the point on Vernon Davis. Now, I don't think he should be their tight end one. I don't think he's better than Jordan Reed.
He's different.
He is still capable, though, because he's a second tight end and he gets a favorable matchup almost all the time. He is absolutely capable of winning one-on-one and in-man coverage.
And they tried to take advantage of that down the field, and that was the interception, by the
way. It was.
Yeah.
But it was that actually should have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
He was fairly well covered. That bad play that happened, you get one of those for every 10 good plays. On those wheel routes and stuff the last couple of years, he's eaten teams up. He caught a 20-plus yard pass against the Panthers. He caught another 20-plus yard pass against Carolina for a touchdown. He had a 50-yard catch earlier this season, you may remember, in the middle of the field at FedEx Field that he rumbled for after the reception. Last week, he had a season-best 5 catches, coming off 62 yards. Now, the week before that against the Giants, he caught one ball. Week before that against the Cowboys, he got shut out and he was barely targeted. In fact, I don't think he was targeted. And that was coming off of a game where he'd been good. So I just don't understand why he disappears and they just don't throw him the football for stretches in this offense. I feel like he should be a fixture.
Used to drive me crazy. As much as I loved Joe Gibbs, and we'll never besmirch Joe Gibbs, in that era and then just beyond that, to me, sports is about your advantage, pressing your advantage. The Patriots would always figure out a way to have both their really good tight ends on the field at the same time and have a dynamic passing game. The Redskins couldn't seem to do that with Chris Cooley and Vernon Davis. Not Vernon Davis, Fred Davis, rather. A different Davis. It was like one or the other. They would rotate or something, right? I can never figure out why that was the case. Seems to be the same way here, right now, right? Where, with all due respect to the guys that they've got, whether it's on the outside, especially without Crowder hurt, who's the slot guy, obviously, but with all due respect to Doxson and Maurice Harris and name that quick and Jehu Chesson and whoever else, your best matchup is probably Jordan Reed against whoever and Vernon Davis against whoever. Exploit that. And the times, as you said, they go away from it, and it's not there for them.
Clay, Fredericksburg, you're on the Fan. Who's got to be great?
Hey, Clay.
I think we need some trickery from Jay Gruden. We need him to step up and call some type of a trick play, either Jordan Reed throwing a touchdown pass or something unexpected that we haven't really seen much of that.
I'll take it. Why
yeah.
not?
Get I agree, cute. Man.
Now, I'm not going to major in trickery. I'm not trying to run a flea flicker behind an offensive line that may not hold up. But if you want to give Davis or Reed like a jet sweep handoff and have him throw to Josh Doxson for a 17-yard touchdown, this might be the week to go into the bag of tricks and see if you can figure something out. A lot of bad matchups in football. We talked about some of the lopsided lines from Vegas. Your games, just as an example, like the Chiefs and the Cardinals, 16.5-point spread, I think I saw. Let's find an upset or two. Some teams that should be a little bit worried about their games this weekend. 1 o'clock hour will be busy. Matt Harmon, fantasy football, getting your lineup set at 1:00. And Joe Theismann, one of our favorite guests, talking about the Redskins offense at 1:30. You're listening to Grant and Danny. You're locked in to 106.7 The Fan. At the end of this segment, we are giving away Caps tickets to see them tonight as they host the Columbus Blue Jackets. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. I can't see because there's like a wall there. What is going on with all this? There's like plugging in and there's envelopes and there's wires. What's happening?
So the wheel for my 1:30 wheel of impressions for the update.
Yeah.
That we're now starting to do every Friday.
The wheel of updates.
The wheel of updates. There are some pieces of paper stuck in there that you just can't get out.
Mm.
So Dar's trying to MacGyver that bad Jackson. Like, I think he needs a piece of tape on a stick or something. He was trying to use a USB cord. It wasn't going well.
He's in a bad way. He's not going to get it out.
He's having a tough time.
Oh, no. So does that mean the wheel's not going to be available to us at 1:30?
No,
there's just going to be one open space because the paper is lodged halfway down in the center of it.
Can the wheel still spin?
It's okay. I got the extra paper right here.
All right.
It's just going to look weird.
It's going to look weird.
How do you cut that paper?
I don't know.
Does it come with the wheel?
Promotions does it.
Yeah, we're riding on the back of what they actually use it for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the secondary
part of me feels bad about it, but it's whatever.
They're going to get to some event and they're going to like flip over a piece of paper and it's going to say Jim Rome.
It says Max Kellerman for some reason. Like, what are we doing?
Why Max Kellerman? What's happening? There are a lot of games in the NFL that could be utterly lopsided this weekend. So I've got the odds in front of me. If you look at just some of these lines, you got Kansas City favored by 16.5 over the Cardinals. The Chargers favored by 10 over the Raiders. The Rams are minus 10 in their game against the Seahawks, which, by the way, that line is prodigious. If I was going to bet on any NFL game this weekend, I would bet on the Seahawks and the 10 points that they're getting. We can come back to that in a second. The Eagles are minus 6.5 over the Cowboys. The Packers are 10-point favorites over the Dolphins. I hate that line, by the way. I wouldn't touch that game. And then the Patriots are getting 6.5 points. I should say are favored by 6.5. The Titans are getting 6.5 at home against New England. That's just some of this week. When you look at this, though, it tells you that we could see a lot of blowouts. Is there anything that smells like an upset to you?
Kevin Sheehan smell test style. By the way, what's funny is the only game that you just mentioned, Chargers, Oakland. That's the only game where the line hasn't been bet down. Every other one. So that the Rams game opened at 11.5. The why am I blanking on it? The Kansas City game opened at 18.5, and it's been bet down to 16.5 or 16 in some books. The point is, on paper, there are a couple pick'em games. Like you look at the Redskins in Tampa. You know, you look at a couple field goal games that are on the board here. Atlanta, Cleveland is a field goal game that got bet up to 6, by the way. But a few of these games are pick 'em or close. Everything else is a huge, awkward spread that doesn't make any sense. Green Bay to me is vulnerable. There's no way they're 10 points better than Miami. Now, Miami sucks.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that because I don't even consider them to be heavy favorites this weekend. The line says that, so that could be your upset right there if we want to go with that. Let's talk Cardinals Chiefs for a second. I would say there's no chance the Cardinals beat the Chiefs straight up.
No way, right?
But the only other game this NFL season with a line this large, the Bills were 16.5 point dogs against the Vikings.
Man, not only did they cover,
they beat Minnesota. That's the other game of this line this football season. So that's worth noting. I think that the Chargers cover 10 over the Raiders. I think the Raiders are that bad.
I think it's a bunch of tires and they're going to be on fire.
The Seahawks could knock off the Rams. That might be my upset of the week if I've got to give you one.
2-point game in Seattle only a few weeks ago. Rams have looked vulnerable of late. Defensively is where all of a sudden they're struggling. Russell Wilson's playing great ball, but nobody notices because they're just 4-4.
Now, I always bring up what the Redskins like defensively and how they match up better with the running teams and the passing teams. Mm-hmm. The Rams are kind of similar. What the Rams are really bad at is defending teams like New Orleans. You know, the great passing teams. Like, Atlanta would give the Rams fits.
Yes.
I actually think the Seahawks, who have completely committed to just pounding the ball down your throat as they've improved this season, I actually think they might be able to deal better with Seattle than some of these pass-heavy teams.
Makes sense.
So it's a decent matchup for them. How about Cowboys-Eagles? Philly's supposed to run away from Dallas and Hyde.
Touchdown game in Philly, yeah.
I think nothing of the Cowboys offense. I was actually sent a stat today by someone, and I'm not even sure why they sent it to me. I was like attached on some Twitter feed. But I saw it, and it was the average yards and the average points for every NFL offense this season. And the Cowboys ranked something like 25th and 28th in those two categories. Dak Prescott, well, let me re-say that. Everything other than Ezekiel Elliott in that offense is rotten. Everything. It's Ezekiel Elliott and very little else. If you took Ezekiel Elliott off that offense, it's the Redskins' offense.
That's right. I was going to say. It reminds me of something else.
He is the saving grace, but
Cooper's fine, but it's not enough.
Their defense is without Sean Lee. This is where they start to come apart at the seams. The seventh best defense in the league, maybe when everyone's healthy, becomes the 16th best defense. And when that happens, generally, it's when they start to play a lot worse.
I think they've got a sneaky chance. Because it's the stupid, you know, the cliches, but it's a division game. They're desperate for it. There's fire around them. And this is the kind of time where Dallas will have one or two more surprising wins, which is ultimately long-term worse for them, by the way. They should just be bad and let themselves be bad and rebuild, but they won't. They got to get closer to 8-8. That's the most Dallas-y thing possible here. So maybe they're more competitive than we think against Philadelphia, who looks to start to, you know, play better than they have. They have a couple weeks in a row where, you know, out of the 2 hours of gameplay, for an hour and 50 minutes, they were dominating two teams, right? Then you have the last 10 minutes or so against Carolina. But to me, the only game that I've got circled where I feel like I think an upset could happen, I have no good reason for this.
Ooh.
Other than Chicago ain't that great.
So I looked at that game.
They're just not that great.
Here's my logic, though.
There's nothing wrong with them, Grant.
Detroit had, I think it was 10 sacks against Matt Stafford last week, and Khalil Mack's coming back for that Bears front. They should be able to get to him 5 or 6 times. But I'm with you. Detroit's terrible. Chicago's the worst really good team in the league.
I would pick Chicago 10 times out of 10, and I will pick Chicago if we do a segment where we go, who's going to win the game? I think Chicago will win the game. That's the one, though, for whatever reason, where I could see another one of these Chicago defense, what the hell happened to you guys, where it's, you know, it's Marvin Jones, Galladay with a couple great catches, and, you know, Kerryon Johnson gets some looks. And then defensively, Chicago can't throw because Detroit will pick you off. They've got a couple guys, they can get after the passer decently, and they'll turn you over on occasion. Maybe that's what happens? Question mark? I mean, I don't buy it, but I'm thinking if there's going to be an upset, a divisional game like that, possibly. Because Chicago ain't that great.
I do. I like that. By the way, I'm going to give you a best bish today. I've got a Grant's best bish right now.
Dude, we have been the people have been starving
been
for
waiting.
Grant's best bish.
I need a confident enough feel. I can't just give you one. It's not a sponsored segment. I don't have to do it every day like Bishop.
This is not since, is this since week 2?
It's like week 4 maybe. We started it a few weeks in. I only did 2 of them.
And they were both Cleveland.
Back on track here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the Browns this week.
Nice!
Grant's best bish, the Seahawks. Handle those 10 points effectively.
Yeah.
And they find a way to lose by less than 10 to the Rams.
They cover.
The Seahawks will cover.
Is
they
there
might
a way?
Back into that cover, but this is a Grant's best bish, if I've ever seen one.
Is there a way?
Lock it in. Put the chips in.
Ship those chips. What about the New York Jets not having Sam Darnold?
No, I like that too. By the way, I think they're upgrading at quarterback this week with Josh McCown. Not because Darnold's a bad draft pick, but because right now he just doesn't give them a lot of a chance.
Mm.
But I actually could see the Bills beating them. I really could. The Bills are due for a competitive game.
They've got some good defensive metrics, the Bills do. Nobody noticed because they've been so terrible in so many other ways, and they turn the ball over a ton. But their pressure metrics are towards the top of the league, meaning they generate pass pressure. Maybe that gets you a pickle six. Maybe that gets you a sack fumble. Maybe it gets you something special to make up for your completely inept and gross and horrible and miscarriage of justice of an offense.
Well said. I like where you're going with
that. See what I'm saying? Again, none of these things are likely because we're talking about 7-point spreads, 10-point spreads, 18-point spreads in some cases.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. I got a little question for you, Danny.
Hmm.
If you can answer this question, you got to be the first caller in who can answer this question. You're going to win tickets to see the Caps take on the Blue Jackets tonight. Aaron Ness's name came up today on the show. He's back up with the big club in the NHL, defenseman. What college did he go to? Who did he play for in college? You can answer that question. You're a Caps mark. You deserve 2 tickets to see them take on the Blue Jackets at Capital One Arena tonight. Good luck to you. Fantasy football lineup will be set with Matt Harp next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.